You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk covering every team in the NHL. New episodes every Monday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
The Flyers locked up another piece of the long-term plan. The team is converging on Philadelphia, and fans may be getting some new tunes this year. All that and more on this week's episode of the Three Pigeons Podcast.
Pigeon.
Hey everybody, I am your host with the most, Joe Gazarian, and all I have to say on this Tuesday is go Birds.
I'm Matt Arenick, and on an un-bird related note, the moves for Chuck just seemingly never stop.
Yeah, I'm Mike Zawisa, and I can't help but feel like fans are gonna hate the new goal song no matter what. They're happy about the Eagles, so they have to be mad about something.
You mean like they hate it on the gritty? Well, gritty, Ryan Ellis trade, every other trade.
Yeah, just everything.
So. And Mike, you went to Villanova. Your master's from Syracuse is in bird law, correct? That's what you studied.
I was gonna go with the bit, but I'm not in a yes and mood today, Joe. To be honest,
that's all right. I threw it out there. Right, you threw it back. That's fine. Before we get into change and how Philadelphians hate it, and just hate everything, quick word from our sponsor. You guys have heard us talk about DraftKings, the leader in daily fantasy sports, and how payday can come every day by entering their contest with huge cash prizes up for grabs. Making a lineup on DraftKings adds excitement to every night, and it's simple to do. Draft your lineup and feel the sweat like never before. Every moment means more with the DraftKings lineup on the line. DraftKings has paid out over $7 billion to users across all sports. DraftKings is the leader in daily fantasy sports, so there's no better place to get in on the action. Now that you know how to play, download the DraftKings app and sign up using code THPN. New users will get a free entry with their first deposit. That's code THPN to get a free entry with your first deposit only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. All right, fellas. Now that that's done with, Chuck Fletcher is not done. He continues probably, I mean, I can't think of a busier offseason the Flyers had since trading Richards and Carter. Mm-hmm. This wheel keeps on turning, right? They signed Joel Farabee to a contract extension the day after we recorded our last episode. So it's been a little while. What are your boys' thoughts? I mean, locking up what could be a cornerstone piece for this franchise if everything goes well to a 6-year deal, right? So got some cost certainty for a little bit and got some UFA years. What do you guys think?
I mean, I like the bet. I'd rather take the bet like that then kind of wait. Now, obviously, we lucked out with Sean Couturier. I think that's exactly what happened last time, too, right? We had our episode, then Coots signed the next day. Not many players are willing to take the pay cuts that a Coots is willing to take. And obviously, the hope is, hey, if we look at what Coots did originally, we bet on him, it worked out well. Then we bet on Ghost, and it didn't really work out all that great, but it wasn't It wasn't like an anchor to the roster. So I like the risk reward of this deal. Like you said, $5 million kind of puts him underneath what TK is making kind of after a couple decent years, right? That's kind of a pretty good comp at $5.5 million over, I think he got 6 years as well. So that's kind of what you were looking at with a cap being raised over the next couple of years. So probably closer to six. So you save yourself $1 million per year. So I like it. I mean, I like Farabee a lot. He mentioned it himself. He wants to be more consistent this year. So as long as he continues with the trend of how he played last year, but can be a little bit more consistent, especially given that he's apparently gained some weight and looks a little bigger, I think that's going to help him in this upcoming season. So I'm excited to see what he can offer the team again this year.
Yeah, I mean, as long as he can remain that 25 to 30 goal scorer, or, you know, remain that 20 goal scorer to 25 goal scorer that he is, it's a pretty good deal. And if he can take that next step and become, you know, a permanent 25 to 30 guy, that's just perfect. So I think it's been a pretty savvy offseason by Chuck Fletcher. Between the contracts, maybe he overpaid here and there on deals themselves, but the contracts have been pretty good. And I think that the fact that he's throwing in a mix of the, you know, shorter term deals and longer term deals is he's just maintaining that flexibility for, you know, years to come. But you know, without having to sacrifice anything too much. I mean, he's got Kootz and Farabee now locked up long term, and those are probably the two corner pieces for this team moving forward. And TK's locked up with them too, so. You know, I don't really see a downside to this move unless Farabee, like, just bottoms out as, like, a 20-20 guy or something like that. I mean, that's not optimal to be paying him 20 or to be paying him 5 for 20 goals and 20 assists, but, like, it's not even that bad of an overpay, all things considered. So, yeah, positive deal, I think, overall.
Yeah, and I did see that apparently he's like Matt said, he's really focused on just being more consistent. And you know, honestly, I think that's what really separates great players from just good or ordinary players, is that they can be great every night. You can count on them to, you know, to either score a goal or get an assist or just be part of the game every single night. And if that's what Ferry's been, you know, practicing and trying to get ready for all off season, I'm really glad to hear it. I did also hear that he put on some weight, which is good. You know, just a bulk up for, I mean, his first full season in NHL hockey. I mean, we talk about it again and again. I think it's going to be a huge factor in this year's, you know, playoff races and standings and how the team's going to do. So this is the first year they're going to play a full season of 82 games. So risk reward, it's pretty good for me. I don't, you know, if he tops off as a 20-20 guy, you know, kind of stinks, but, you know, it is what it is. I think I see him a little higher than that. I think he could maybe be like a 30 and 40 guy, or just, you know, 35-35, who knows. He can shoot the puck. He is his passing isn't nearly as good as his shot, but he still, I really like his motor and his shot. Those are the two things that I think above all else he can really bring to the table. So yeah, locking up a young guy, taking a chance, I'm fine with it. I'm happy Chuck did the move. And he just continues to plug away, Chuck. Man, he's just not stopping. Every time we think he's done, he goes ahead and pulls something else off.
Yeah, I think the other part of it, to Chuck's point and the way they view him, is they believe he sees the game the same way Kootz does at a similar age. Mm-hmm. He's an extremely smart hockey player. And to your point, Joe, he's has an unbelievable shot. Given the weight and size he was last year and the year before that, imagine he puts on another 5 or 10 pounds. I mean, he's blown it by goalies clean last year. I can only imagine what he's going to do this year. So I'm excited for it. It's also going to tell us, I think, his performance is really going to dictate. I don't like to think too far ahead, because I think JVR is going to be a big part of this team this year. But obviously with Drew coming up as a UFA and our boy Ristolainen, I think if he has a really big year, that could mean the end of JVR's time here in Philly, just because of, from a cap casualty standpoint. So it'll dictate a lot for sure.
Anything else, gentlemen, on the young Beezer in the cut? Mike, by the way, did you tweet out the record label thing you made when the deal got done? Or am I crazy?
Yeah.
I like that. I enjoyed that.
That's how you make content last longer and go
there. Yeah, there you go. Recycle the content, baby. That's what we're all about here. No new ideas ever. I'm just kidding. I really like it. On the same note, though, talking about younger players and pushing the lineup, camp is on the horizon. I can almost see it, gentlemen. A lot of the players have been arriving to Skate Zone in Philadelphia. We mentioned at the top of the show some interesting quotes from Chuck Fletcher today about the young kids basically needing to more or less blow the veterans out of the water to get a spot. You know, Frost, Allison, York, these kind of names. I can see maybe one of them making it, but I think the pendulum has swung so far back the other way from last year that it's unlikely. I still think a lot of them will get games this year just because of the nature of the season being the full season again. God, I should just have that on fucking tape and just play it every time, but they're going to play. I just don't think it's going to be soon. What do you guys think? Let me ask you this. Who do you think is going to be the first call up out of those three? Allison, York, or Frost?
I would say, I think as it stands right now, Allison might actually have a better shot to make the team out of camp than Frost or York, especially York, because Allison's just probably aiming. Games? Jesus Christ. Aiming.
I think I can help with this whole Pam situation.
I think he's probably aiming for a bottom six role, probably specifically a fourth line role. So that's probably more open than the 3C role, which Frost is likely going for, because with the addition of Derek Brassard, I mean, I could easily see him just kind of hanging on to that spot. And then the team running with, like, Nate Thompson as the fourth line center. And I think fans would probably be upset about it at first, but again, I'm not thrilled about the idea of potentially icing young players that aren't ready to be NHL players. You know, like, I think I'd just rather see Derek Brassard out there playing 3C, you know, proven NHL player, and then, you know, if Frost proves that he can come up and play or proves that he cannot play him, then he can have the spot. So I don't disagree with what they're doing.
Yeah, I agree with pretty much everything you just said. That's the way I view it. I think Allison likely makes the team out of camp on like a fourth line winger, even if he's like 13F or something of that nature. I mean, I think the coaching staff viewed him in a better light at the end of the season than they did NAK, so it wouldn't shock me if NAK was a 13 forward instead. But to Mike's point, I think last year they bet on and were willing to kind of play through the growing pains of Nolan Patrick trying to get back to form after a long time off from playing. And people have to remember that not only did Frost only get in for like a period last year, you have to consider the entire offseason and when it was the last time he played. It was probably like a year and a half at this point. So we're nearly at a somewhat similar time off for Frost. They're not going to sit there and wait for him to kind of go through those growing pains to get back into game shape and be his normal self or what they expect him to be. So to Mike's point, you're probably going to see, which will be fun for Phantoms fans. I mean, they're going to have York, they're going to have Frost, they're going to have potentially even the second round pick to Amala, Forrester, Wisdom when he's healthy. I mean, that's going to be a stacked team down there with young talent, young goalie talent. So I agree. In terms of like a call up, it's all going to be dependent on injuries, to your point, Joe. If Yandle doesn't play well and Sam Moran is just not getting it done and it's an extended period of time that Yandle's out or vice versa, then you're probably going to see York first. But if like a top nine player gets hurt or has been severely underperforming and Frost has been doing well in the AHL, then he's probably the first up. So.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think it's funny. I really liked Allison's game, and I think he showed a good amount at the end of last season to at least leave an imprint on the coaches' minds. I think if he comes in and he has another solid camp, I'd be shocked if they don't. Maybe he's even just, you know, the 13th forward for a little bit and just gets in here and there. I expect him to make the club. Frost, I don't think they want to rush him back. I'm pretty sure they're going to want him to kind of ease into the AHL world a little bit, get some goals, get some offense flowing, and then slowly kind of bring him back to the NHL life. Because like you said, he was only in it for what? It was his second game, I think, is when he got called up and got injured.
It was his first game.
It was like the first game, like first period. It was ridiculous.
Yeah,
like,
and it was, again, one of those weird phantom hits that, you know, Couturier had the same thing where it just looks like a normal check. It doesn't look like anything horrible has gone wrong. And it just, you know, he wasn't the same after that. He was clearly injured. So we'll see. But I think Frost, just being a center, he's going to get a pretty good shot of staying up here at some point. Because I can't think that Nate Thompson is as we'll see. I don't know. I guess see what Elaine decides, man. He's we saw how much he fell in love with Tomer last time. So.
Yeah, he rode Tomer like, oh, that was tough. But to your point, at least they're not going to go out and trade a pick for him at the deadline.
They got it done, man. Hey, they made all their moves, right? So this is pretty much it. They have pushed all their chips to the center of the table. Anything else, gentlemen, on the team arriving and camp about to begin?
Go ahead, Mike.
No, I was just going to say, I think it's exciting to see like some of the new places landing in Philly. I saw Ryan Ellison, Reese DeLinen posted a picture the other day together. That was pretty cool to see those two. I think Ellis, I feel like people just continuously forget that the team picked him up this offseason. I mean, how often is a right-handed number one or top pair defenseman available and you're just able to pick them up? So I don't, seems like people should be making a bigger deal of it than they are. Besides that, I mean, I think it's just cool that, you know, we're going to be able to see some camp battles, and even though, you know, we're saying that the veterans probably have an inside track on some of these spots, it's at least one new veterans that we're getting to see. You know, I'm pretty excited to see what Derek Brassard, you know, looks like in camp and in the preseason. And then even, you know, a guy like Keith Yandle. I always liked Keith Yandle as a player when he was in other cities, and I know he's at the end of his career here now, but, you know, people generally love him whenever he's, you know, playing for your team. So I don't know. There's just a cool energy around camp, it feels like, this year.
I agree. I think not running it back the same way we've done for the past 6 years, essentially, is a nice change up. And to your point, it's just a completely different vibe going into this year. I mean, obviously, there's still the camp battles. I'd like to see Frost kind of put up some points.
Mm-hmm.
In preseason games and things of that nature, right? A lot of the younger players, because even if they do, they probably still won't make the team. But I'm hoping that a lot of the young guys can get off to strong starts, so that if anyone does struggle, it's a quick call up. But yeah, no, I agree. I mean, Cam Atkinson, seeing him in a Flyers jersey was weird but cool at the same time. I'm excited about him, and I'm just excited to see a new look Flyers.
No. I'm excited too, man. It's the probably most excited I've been for a Flyers season in a while, just because of everything you guys mentioned, right? They listened to us, they heard us, and I think they probably just took stock of last season. They're like, okay, if we want to continue to be GM, coach, president, whatever, of the Philadelphia Flyers, we need to make changes. So they took it to heart, and Chuck got to work, man. Credit to him. He has been busting his ass this offseason, so we'll see what this team looks like. One final note, get it, because it's about goal songs, notes, funny. The Flyers are changing their goal song, and in the script here, Mike has me saying, I wasn't a fan of Feel the Shake. I loathed Feel the Shake. I do not understand who the fuck picked that song.
It wasn't that bad.
You're much more musically inclined, and for our listeners, Mike is much more musically inclined for rock music than myself, or I would say Matt either. I had never even heard of that song.
I
had
never
once.
Heard it either. Yeah.
Okay, so I'm not crazy.
What song are we talking about?
Feel the Shake. It's
called Feel the Shake by
the Goal
Jet
Song
Boy.
From last year.
Yeah. This is the Goal Song. Ready? Feel the Shake. Feel the Shake. That's literally the Goal Song.
It's pretty much it, yeah.
That is it.
Yeah, that was terrible.
It was garbage. And we've had some... Honestly,
Knock was my favorite.
Well, that wasn't... That was just a victory song.
That was the victory song they played in the locker room.
Yeah.
What was the Goal Song during that year then?
Dupe.
Yeah.
That was Dupe out of the Dupe combo.
Which Dupe is... Hey, listen, I'm a big Union fan, but I really enjoyed it. I don't think they're going to go back to an old song. I think they want a new song.
They're going
to
pick something new that they can use for a few years, I think.
Yeah. I want to ask you guys, give me your... If you were in charge, what would be your Goal Song for the Flyers for this year, 2021-2022?
I think the one joke that's been going around right now is the Action News theme.
The Action News theme is good. I have heard it.
I would take that. There was one I just thought of that I can't really think of anymore. But you know the song they play after they win? Like the
Orange and the Black.
Orange and the Black. Why don't they just make that the Goal Song?
They could.
Yeah, I don't know. What would be a cool one? Layla. Joe, here's one for you. Classic rock, Layla. They score, Layla's and then the horn dope, goes off, and that little riff
the
goes.
Guitar,
yeah. Yeah. That'd be pretty cool.
If they want to stay classic rock, that's a pretty damn good one to go with. What do you think, Matt? Give me one.
I'm brutal when it comes to that. I know so little about music. The crazy thing, though, we were actually talking about that the other day, and my roommate, who, he's not from Chicago, but he spent time in Chicago, I think, for work, thinks that Chicago's Goal Song sucks.
Chelsea really? Dagger?
Chelsea
That's
Dagger.
A great Goal Song.
Yeah. I was like, I literally said that was the best one in the league.
I hate it. We heard it so many times in that playoff run. Christ.
Yeah, no, that's a good one. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm excited. I would love to know, Mike, did you say like the remix to it? The Action News remix?
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
I haven't heard it, so I'll have to look that up after.
It's pretty funny.
After this, this is done. But
something that has like cool. a local flair to it. I know that's hard because... Yeah. Philly has a lot of good musicians and a good history of music, but not necessarily on a rock front. But maybe you could do like the, why not the Rocky theme? Like the horns start blaring or something, where like the guitar solo maybe in that
they could
song.
There's Bill Conti, I think, is the one who did the score for that movie.
Yeah.
There's a trillion things they could pull from Rocky.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of people throw around that band, The Wonder Years from Philly. They've got a song apparently people enjoy.
Okay.
I don't know what it is, but I've seen that thrown around.
Do Hall and Oates.
You could do Meek Mill would be dope as shit.
That would
be kind
of cool.
Meek Mill to record something. Yeah. You know, Dreams and Nightmares. I think
that's the Eagles. Can't touch that.
It's the Eagles, exactly. But if he could do, I don't know, I would reach out to Meek Mill and be like, hey, because he, in Dreams and Nightmares, he throws out that lyric for the Flyers. So. Yeah.
I wonder how much input the players are going to have, right? Because now that like Jake's gone and he was more of like the classical music type guy,
Bruce Springsteen,
I wonder what the who's going to have the aux cord and what's going to be playing in that room. So, because I think at the end of the day, even if the fans come up with like Action News or something, like they're definitely going to run it by the players. Like if you're a player and you, as a collectively, and you're just like this song blows, like no,
I don't know. I feel like this
maybe they're just trying to get people back in the seats because, like we said, I mean, last year they were struggling to get people in the seats and they're trying. I mean, they're doing a good job. I mentioned it in the group, right? Like, I think this is the most content they've been churning out in an off season than we've seen in a while. Like, Forrester, Allison, Cam York mic'd up for like those rookie skates. Right, like we never really got any of that. Then they have Cam Atkinson, who's probably going to be one of the faces, if not the face, of like a lot of content moving forward, talking about the Goal Song. So
yeah, they're certainly lining him up to be that.
Yeah, I mean it's nice to like actually see some content from the Flyers. I mean, I feel like so many other teams have kind of jumped on that bandwagon over the last couple of years of whether it's like what are they doing in the off season and things like that. So.
I'm pretty sure their marketing team was like, all right, we really got to step it the fuck up.
maybe they finally hired a marketing team.
Maybe they did. Maybe they finally hired a marketer to help them with their content. Because, I mean, you're absolutely right. in past offseason moves, the Flyers shit the beach, right? That's like the funniest thing that's happened or coolest thing that's happened. So they don't really aggressively market, but I think they realize how important this season is for this franchise. So they're trying to get butts in seats, man.
They've definitely stepped it up over the past couple of years. I think especially since Hextall got fired, to be honest. Mm. They definitely overhauled their, you know, what they were allowed to do for marketing. But yeah, I agree. This year, I think obviously COVID probably played a role in last year's poor output, but it seems like they're using every opportunity they can to be around the players and try and get the fans not just, you know, interested and involved with the new players, but like recognize who they are. Like that's a big part too. But yeah, no, we've just been hammering on it. Pretty exciting offseason. The new goal song just fits right in.
Another acquisition. Yes, I'd really like, if I'm the Flyers, I'm going to Meek Mill and I'm partnering with him to create a Flyers goal song. So just a catchy hook, only needs to be 30 seconds long. You know, he can easily come up with something. If not, then I like Knock Knock. I think they could bring that back. Technically, it was not a goal song. It was a club, you know, the room song. Yeah, the wind song. I know Mac Miller's from Pittsburgh, but
he was all about it, though, when the Flyers
used it in their locker room. RIP Mac Miller. Anything else, gentlemen, before we wrap up this edition of Three Pigeons of the Puckcast?
Only other thing I'll add, which I thought was hilarious, did you guys see the Instagram post that Hayes was like?
Oh yeah.
I don't understand. Did he know the person?
I think he was just randomly walking the street, right?
Yeah, I don't know what city he was in. Maybe
it's Boston. Gotta be. Oh yeah, it could be Boston, I guess. Yeah,
but I think that's where he like lives in the off season.
Yeah,
but it was like some random like Instagram model who had like over a million followers. Would be like taking pictures of herself drinking like a nice mocha free latte. Drink. Yeah. And then Hayes just happens to be in the background like
that's wild.
Staring at her like, what is this woman doing? And she didn't even know who he was. I like looked at like the comments.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, oh, that last picture is hilarious.
Mm-hmm. No, that's pretty good.
And Kevin, don't forget, gentlemen, we might be waving goodbye to Bobby Haig again. He could be headed to
The rumor about him and the package deal of the century.
Could you imagine?
Bobby Haig and Eichel. That's probably what teams needed to get it done. They just weren't willing to give them up.
Exactly.
Bro, if the Flyers, the offseason that they trade Haig and receive Rasmus Ristolainen back, and then that team turns around and trades Haig for Jack Eichel, or trades Haig with Jack Eichel, like that would be incredible, right? Flyers fans would be so irrationally pissed.
Yeah. You still have that contingent who thought he was good in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah. His hits were always goddamn pillow fights and throw me up a wall. All right, gentlemen. I think that's going to do it. I appreciate you guys taking the time to join me today, as always. For Mike, for Matt, for myself, have a great day, Philadelphia. Go Birds.